Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And obviously some of the news about the Browns
500 coach
yesterday coming out that Travis Benjamin and the Browns seem to be breaking off their talks, that will be Travis Benjamin will be hitting the free agent market. And Tony Pauline reporting that the buzz here at the Combine is that the San Diego Superchargers and Atlanta Falcons are both interested in pursuing Travis Benjamin. Now, Travis Benjamin is a guy that I would like to see come back, Gibbs. I've been clear about that from day one. I would rank him as the second priority behind Mitchell Schwartz. But again, when it comes to these free agents, it's about the value that the team sees on him. And I think we all know Travis Benjamin never going to be a true number one receiver in the NFL, but certainly could be a very good complementary piece. You look at him last year in the role where he was getting the targets commensurate with a number one receiver. He had one touchdown in the last 13 games. And if you look at the final five, all of the last five games, he was under 55 yards and without a touchdown. And in eight of the last 10 games, was he under 55 yards and without a touchdown. So I think that it's a tough one because he's shown the flashes. He did some good things. We know that he is excellent, obviously, at catching the ball and, of course, returning kicks for you. But it sounds like he is going to have some suitors out there on the free agent market, and the Browns and Travis Benjamin cannot yet agree on the value. And joining us now here live at the Combine, you can follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL, the ESPN NFL Insider, also on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Adam Kaplan. Adam, how are you?
Good to see you. Good to be here for my 15th year at the NFL Combine.
So talk about that for a second. How different is this Combine compared to the first one?
Well, this is the most crowded. They've given out at least 1,300 credentials. My first year in 02, between 1 and 150, I think.
Okay. So a massive explosion.
It's incredible. And remember, when I first started covering the National Football League, the Combine was in the RCA Dome, which is no longer.
Sure.
That was part of the convention center. And the access was much better to club personnel than it is now for the Combine. Unless you see them at a bar, a restaurant, or you arrange to see them. Here, you don't see them quite as readily, but it's great. I mean, it's still great. They make GMs and coaches available. Not all of them will do it, but we're still able to talk to them and ask the right questions. But the fact of the matter is, it's changed. This thing has become an event. You're here. You're seeing so many team websites now here. Radio shows, stations come from around the country. They have 20 radio stations here. They have a radio row here. I didn't see this coming. I mean, even at the Senior Bowl now, they have a little bit of that. So, listen, it's a media event. For the draft and a little bit for free agency.
So let's talk about the draft, obviously, for the Browns. All eyes on what they'll do with the number two pick. Quarterback is pretty much the thinking. What did you think of Hugh Jackson's comments earlier today about, hey, we're not locked into quarterback at number two?
No, but I think, when you look at the way the Browns may go going forward, and people sort of make too much of analytics, but it's going to be a bigger part of what they do. That's just a fact.
Yep.
Analytics will say, talking to my good friend Joe Banner, who works at ESPN, he said, listen, analytics will tell you, you trade down, not up. If you if you move, you're going to trade down.
Right.
Now, the question would be then, hypothetically, if they were going to trade down, who else needs a quarterback? Because they have to get a quarterback. I mean, the fact of the matter is they're going to have to take one in the first round. And if Carson Wentz is their guy, who I would think if you polled 32 general managers or 32 decision makers, he would probably get 20 to 25 votes. He's the best quarterback in this draft. These two personnel guys I really trust told me they have him as their number one player graded for the draft. So we're talking their teams that they work for. So it's something that the Browns have to get through here. It's because, again, you have a new regime here, coaching staff, personnel staff. What is the philosophy going forward? They have to work through that. As I think Hugh made it clear today, they're still working through a lot of information. When you bring two groups together very quickly, it's sort of like a shotgun wedding. You have to get to know each other.
Sure.
What does Hugh want on offense and defense? What size does he want? What athleticism does he want? Rotations, how deep does he want to be at this position? This is all very important. Remember, free agency now starts two weeks from today. Today's Wednesday. It starts March 9th, so they have to get to that. And the Browns, of course, have a lot of free agents that they'd like to bring back, but we'll see what happens.
Let's go back to Carson Wentz, and he said that many people have him, some have his number one player on the board, most have him as a top quarterback in the draft. When did you start hearing that about Carson
Wentz? I would say September. Here's what happened. So my calls to personnel guys in the fall about college kids are, they're almost always players I'm going to go see that come in to play Temple. Like when Blake Bortles came out, someone told me about him in late August, said, you ought to see this kid Bortles. No one's ever heard of him. I'm like, okay, I'll go see him. On Wentz, one personnel guy was going to see him play. He said he's a senior quarterback. Tape was good from the previous year. Hasn't played real lot. May go second or third round.
Yep.
Didn't think that he could be a high first-round pick. But I remember what I watched three games that were on like ESPN2 or ESPNU, and I was like, wow, this kid, he's a pretty good athlete. He's around 6'5". He could move. And I saw his progress, and then unfortunately broke his wrist, but he's fine now. He's at the Senior Bowl. It was tremendous. One of the best quarterbacks that I've ever seen at the Senior Bowl. But to answer your question, sometime in September, I heard from someone I really trust, hey, you should get on this guy. You should learn more about him. Like, you know, when people in the league I trust tell me that, I got to do my homework and figure out who this guy is. But going from one double A is a big jump. There's no question. Joe Flacco did it, but remember, Flacco was also Pitt before that. It's a big jump for him. I think that would be the one issue that people have, the level of competition. The schedule, obviously, in college at one double A is completely different than one A. That's a concern. And the 2 years of playing experience is a concern. Remember, he missed most of his senior season.
Yeah, with the wrist.
Now here's the question going forward. When you look at the other quarterbacks, Jared Goff, I think he's probably the most ready of the top three. Paxton Lynch is the wild card.
Yep.
I saw him play Temple. He did not play very well, but he's a tremendous athlete for the position. He's got really good arm, a lot of ability. Some coaches I've talked to say, I would not play him year one. I want him to sit and learn, which he needs to do, but he's got a lot of ability. Then it comes down to when you're dealing with personnel, the personnel guys, Sashi Brown and his group, they've got to figure out what's more important here for the head coach. When you assess value and how soon, like let's say Wentz is their guy. Do you think he'll be ready? They're going to talk to him, obviously, here, pro day and everything else. Once they get a mental picture of this kid, of what he is, if you think he's ready, to me, I think he's your guy at two. I think that factors into it. And if you really like the kid, after getting to know him through the scouting process, I think you've got to do that. So the Browns have a lot of, when you have the second pick overall, sometimes it's obvious. But when you have two new staffs here, it's getting to know what the value and philosophy is going to be going forward.
Have you seen a prospect go from being, as you talked about when he was put on your radar, Wentz, maybe a second, third round guy, top 100 guy, to this guy might be the number one player in the draft?
Well, I would say this. When Joe Flacco came out in 08, I remember going to see him against Villanova. A couple people told me they were going to the game, and I live near Villanova and University of Delaware. I'm like about 25 minutes. I'm like, I'm not going to see a University of Delaware quarterback. Guy can't be very good. If he's at Delaware, he can't be very good, right? Seriously, that's what I said. And I was reacting to the question, did I want to go with these people to see him play? I'm like, we do some homework on this kid. Now, his grade from the scouting services going into the senior year was a seventh-round grade, and obviously that was not accurate. But I was like, okay, could go like maybe third round. And then you learn as you go see and you see the arm strength and the ability, you're like, okay, there's something really special here with this guy. I think with Wentz, now again, he wasn't a transfer from a D1 school. As a matter of fact, one school I think was Central Michigan recruited him. That was it. Plus the school, the area where he's from, North Dakota, that's where he's from. So they recruited him. That was it.
Yeah.
Now, so that's the question. Will the moment be too big for him? You, as much as I think people in the league love this kid, you don't know that until you get there. How's he going to handle it? How's he going to handle the again, we're saying hypothetically, we don't know what the Browns are going to do yet. What if he goes to Berea? What if he's got to be at training? The media, Cleveland, I know those people.
Yeah.
You know that. You work there.
Of course.
It's a tough media. Now, although I think they're good people there, it's tough work in that town. The lack of success the Browns have had at quarterback, Manziel was a complete failure. Okay? Let's call it like it is.
Yes.
Josh McCown's was a great signing, actually.
Yeah.
That turned out to be a good move. And having Josh around, if we talk about that for a second, is a great decision. He's about as good as a bridge quarterback or a transitional quarterback you could have. He's a great guy. He's a guy you want to have around. As you know, you work around him. So the fact of the matter is, they're not in dire straits at quarterback. If Josh McCown has to start for another year, look, before he got hurt,
Playing well.
Played exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. I mean, they were going to set some team records there. So, long story short here, I think the Browns still need to dig in on the quarterbacks, which they'll do. Again, we're only in February now. The draft isn't until late April, so they've got plenty of time. And first up, of course, has been free agency.
What are you hearing about Goff?
Needs to build his upper body. Doesn't have a great arm. Better than average arm. You know, it's called what you would call, scouts call a plus arm.
Yep.
Not a plus plus. I think he's not, when you look at the overall package, it's not as good of a package of tools as Carson Wentz has. Obviously not as big physically. Doesn't have as big of an arm. But it's good enough. Some people think he'd be better in a West Coast offense. He runs a variety of systems. He doesn't really run a West Coast offense. But the thing that I love about Hugh Jackson is as a play caller, and Joe Flacco told me this. Joe Flacco told me this is one of his favorite coaches in his career. He finds out what you do well, and that's he'll tailor his system to what the quarterback does well. So that's good, and that's coaching.
Yeah,
you know. So he was a great manager of people. I think Brown's got a really good coach here, by the way. I was a real big advocate of Hugh Jackson. Always been a fan.
I'm very
of his,
excited.
So yeah, he doesn't hide anything. I think you kind of see who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're hoping now, going forward, all the issues for the last couple of years with the Browns internally and externally, they're all gone. Just build this thing. And also, I know from talking to some of the personnel people, they want everyone to be patient here. This is not going to get done in 1 year, two or
right.
three. Get the quarterback, support him, just make sure the offensive line's intact. Need to build the receiver position, obviously. Bringing Ray Horton back, who had success with the Browns before. It's a process. This is a year-after-year thing. But, man, if you get the quarterback position right, you know this. Once you get the quarterback position right, it just seems to all fall into place. So I'm really hoping for the Browns that they get this right.
You and me both. All right, let's talk about it. You talk about the offensive line, free agency, Mitchell Schwartz, Alex Mack. What's the latest you've heard on those two?
Yeah, Alex Mack, listen, I mean, I hate to say shock. It would be a surprise if he doesn't opt out. Yeah, if he doesn't opt out, I'd be stunned. I've heard this. I mean, geez, talking to the Browns all fall, they thought it was a foregone conclusion. Now, some people deny that's why they drafted the kid last year.
Cam Irving.
Yeah, Cam Irving in the first round. Whether or not it's true or not, the fact of the matter is he will play center if Mack's gone. I mean, that's really what most NFL people thought.
That's why he was drafted. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is he can move inside. If that happens, they've got to be comfortable and patient with him. And then the issue with Mitchell Schwartz is, you know, if you're going to move on from him, are you going to get someone who's better? And here's another thing about the Browns I will criticize. You got to start keeping your players. You know, Travis Benjamin, get this done. I'm not someone who does play-by-play on deals. If it's my story, I'll put it out there. You know, as you get closer to free agency, don't panic when you see stories come out 2 weeks before free agency. Oh, this guy doesn't think he's going to resign. Don't worry about that. It only matters when you're within 48 hours. If the Browns have not called Deshaun Gibson's agent, I'd say, you know what, this may not work.
Right.
Because you're going to have to make up for lost time. But people react too much about what's out there in the media. I don't. Again, I've covered this league now. This is year 17. I stopped doing play-by-play on contracts. To me, it's a non-story.
Yeah.
It's a story when it gets closer to free agency. That's what it's all about. But don't, Browns fans, don't write off Deshaun Gibson yet. I wouldn't worry about that one. We'll just see where that goes. Again, once we get closer to free agency, a couple days left, you could start worrying about Travis Benjamin, Deshaun Gibson. So don't worry about the media reports. We've got a little bit of time here.
If from your standpoint, somebody who's covered the league for so long, let's say you get a guy like Mitchell Schwartz, who
yeah.
clearly is one of the top half of the right tackles
solid
in the
player,
NFL.
Sure.
Solid player. Yeah. You see the Super Bowl where the right tackle for Carolina had some problems and, you know, let's just say he wants to get paid, because I don't know the fans think about it this way, but let's say Mitchell Schwartz says, I want to be the highest paid right tackle in the NFL. I'm coming up now. I'm young. I'm durable. I've been solid. I may not be the best right tackle, but that's how I want to get paid. How do teams weigh their valuation of a player, the player's valuation of the player, and wanting to keep their homegrown talent, as you alluded to?
Okay, I can make this very quick here. What teams do and agents do is they'll look at comparable players and comparable contracts. So if I'm Mitchell Schwartz, I'm looking for $7 million a year maybe. A little bit better than Jeremy Parnell got with the Jaguars, which
sure.
I think might have been $6.5 million. That's a really good contract if he gets that. He's got a good agent in Derek Gilmore from Priority Sports. We'll see where that one goes. But the other thing is, it's like if you move on from without him, who's going to take his job?
Right.
Is that guy not even on the roster? So you got to be careful about that. But again, it comes back to keeping your own players you draft and develop. And I know that the staffs have changed once again, but this guy's a good football player. Keep
I agree.
This guy.
I agree.
They've got a bunch of free agents. They've got some decisions to make on tender. Scott Solomon, my understanding is they're going to tender him. At least they plan to. We talked about Gibson. We talked about Benjamin. We talked about Schwartz. We talked about Mac. And then there's, although they're going to be well under the salary cap, it's not even about cap anymore around the National Football League. It's whether you want to still pay players who have high cap numbers or high salary. It's really about cash.
Yeah.
Do you want to pay these guys in cash? And that's something that teams now, so with the Giants, they cleared a lot of cash, not just cap room. They're clearing cash. You saw what the Rams did.
Three in one day.
I mean, yeah. It's crazy. Over $20 million in cash.
Hey, you look at the Browns and you look at Dansby and Whitner
sure.
and Kruger. That's
exactly where I'm going here. It's age. It's Whitner in his 30s. Do you want to still pay this guy in real cash? Now, this is where Jimmy Haslam comes into play. This is when you're the general manager or you're Sashi Brown who's gonna oversee personnel. And it helps because he does contracts. He'll recommend to Jimmy, hey, I think we should pay this guy still, or, you know, we may want to move on and get younger. See, to me, and I'm not recommending anyone get cut, to me, where they are now, it's all but up now. You know,
you're
just get younger and build and just draft great. Draft, and I really don't like building for free agency. In fact, you can't. True, if you can't. Right. Remember talking to Bill Polian about that. He might have been the only one who did it in 95 when he built the Panthers very quickly through the expansion draft. They just had all older players who had one or two good years left. Then they had to blow it up.
Right.
So, and then Bill left, go to the Colts. But, you can't. This is not Major League Baseball. You could only build for the draft and you supplement through free agency. And then you awfully look to extend the players before the contracts are up. So the Browns have a lot of work to do. But you know what? Embrace that number two pick. Let's hope that they're not even close to that in the future.
Certainly. Talking with Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. Adam, Sashi Brown's going to speak with the national media for the first time tomorrow at 9:45. What is something that you would want to ask him?
I want to know the dynamics of the personnel department. He could dispel some myths here. How's he going to – this is why I've talked to a lot of people who have dealt with Sashi. He's smart enough to know what he doesn't know.
True.
Which obviously is tape study. This is not a football guy. I mean, let's call it like it is.
Sure.
But – not every person who picks personnel is a football guy. The smart guys delegate or they defer. They go, hey, listen, guys, you're the guys in the trenches here. You're the guys who are out on the road. What do you think? Let's get this together. Our job is to get Hugh the players that he wants. After we grade them, he watches the tape. Him and his coaches watch, and they go, okay, this is what we want to do going forward. That, to me, is what this is all about. And, who's his right-hand man? Who's he going to listen to? They brought the kid in from the Colts.
What did you hear about him?
Really, really good. I talked to a very good friend with the Colts who – loves the kid. Now, the issue is, it's not the age to me, it's just a number. It's about experience.
Yep.
You're not going to know until you go there. I mean, he was number four in personnel. Now he's 1A. Barry's, this is a little bit of a gamble, but listen, I don't want to say special. I just want to say his upside is tremendous as an evaluator. I'd never heard of the guy until I had to make calls. I was like, who is this guy? but it was impressive. Everything I've heard has been good. So from that standpoint, it's nice, but let's just see how ready this guy is, and it's baptism by fire. He's been thrown in there. I mean, let's go. He's just got, it's like you hire the guy. He's going to be tested right away. I mean, they don't have a lot of time here. They've got to get to know each other very quickly, and he comes highly recommended. So we'll have to see.
Has the perception around the league about Paul DePodesta and his role kind of calmed down from the initial, I don't know if it's outrage or shock when he first came in?
So what happens is when it came out, it was shocking. Because Moneyball and the movie Moneyball and what's his life story, which is extremely interesting.
Yeah.
It's really so unique. But I know from talking to the Browns, I get what they're saying. Listen, we're not changing scouting.
Right.
But we want to see if there's a better way to add to what should be done.
Yep.
And listen, tape study will never be replaced. That isn't
the meat and potatoes.
Can't be not. That's how you evaluate. This is not Major League Baseball, people. The analytics in baseball don't transfer over to football, but I'm a big stat guy, so analytics has its place. But also in the scouting systems, how you evaluate people. Is there a better way to do it in addition to the way you're doing? That's all that they're saying, but this is brand new. The way that they're doing it, no one else is doing it. Let's just call it like it is. It's different. It's a brand new world. I cannot wait to see how they sign and retain in free agency and then how they draft. Because as I said, as soon as this came out, I said, listen, if this works, because this is a copycat league, they're going to want to know everything. It's like when Chip Kelly came in with sports science, Nathan. You know, the Eagles were the only team in the National Football League year one to not put a player on injured reserve in Chip's first year. Like, Chip's like, what? How the hell is he doing this?
Right.
So now, if the Browns could figure out a way in their analytics and matching them up to real scouting, if they can marry it, and even if it's only 25% of what they do, that's significant.
Absolutely.
So let's see what they can learn. I'm very intrigued by this whole thing. I really am.
All right. So just kind of sum up right now, quarterback at number two, what do you put the percent on that for the Browns?
Right. I'm not a percentage guy, but I'd say there's a pretty good chance of it. But okay. I wouldn't say it's a lock. We're too early here to know exactly if they try to trade down, could they get Wentz? If he's their guy. If they really like Goff.
Sure.
If Hugh likes Goff. Now, Lynch, I still believe, will go in the first round, but he's in the teens to the 20s.
Agreed.
This is, to me, it's very simple. You really can't go wrong with Wentz or Goff. You just have to be patient. You can't expect the rookie quarterback to play year one, but just come up with philosophy, build it, and don't worry about what the media thinks or the fans think. You just got to go with what you believe. The best evaluators, and I've worked with Bill Polian, he's taught me this, ignore the noise. Just go with what you believe. Because in the end, Nathan, this staff, personnel, and coaching will survive based on what they know and what they're doing, and then how the owner evaluates them, how their success. What goes on outside the building is completely irrelevant.
I agree, and I think when you're in that job, you should do it your way, because if you're going to get fired at some point, so you might as well do it your way.
Go out your way.
Absolutely.
It's exactly the way you do it. And I can't wait to go to training camp. I love your guys' training camp. I've been there like about 10 years, and it's fun. The Browns have a lot of positivity going on. It's been a while, but I get it. Every year there's something new, but listen, again, to sum this up, man, and when you get the number two pick, if you get that right, it's going to be a new beginning.
Absolutely.
So we'll
we certainly hope it is. Adam, appreciate the time. You can follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL, obviously on ESPN NFL Insiders. He'll be bringing you lots of great stuff from the Combine, and we appreciate having him here on CBD live from the Combine in Indy. We'll be back with your phone calls, 216-578-0850, right after this.
Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs, live from the Combine here in Indianapolis. I thought it was interesting what he was saying about the free agents of the Browns, and certainly saying not to rule out Tashawn Gibson at this point, because it seemed to many that that was one that was almost a foregone conclusion.
Definitely. I think if you ranked the guys, if you had a confidence pool in terms of who you thought the Browns would be bringing back for sure, I definitely think Tashawn Gibson's probably at the bottom of the list. Just with what he was going to be asking for, and yeah, he didn't have the greatest year, but he still had a fairly solid year. And on the market, safeties tend to make a little bit more money than maybe they should normally. But I'll tell you that I would be a big fan of that. I like him in the locker room. He's one of my favorites. I think he's a solid player. He's not afraid to speak his mind. I chalk up last year defensively. I don't even know if you can count it when you're evaluating things.
Absolutely.
The defense was such a mess last year, and it's not. I don't think it's necessarily on the players. I think that a lot of it had to do with that scheme, and I just don't know how much, if you're evaluating a player, if unfortunately it was going into a free agent year, I don't know how much stock you take in it.
And that's exactly, and that's a big thing. A lot of people say, you know, you got to show up in that year when you bet on yourself. It'll be interesting.
Well, and so then if you're taking that into account, you disregard this past season. Well, then the season before, he was one of the NFL leaders in interceptions.
Right.
So
and missed games.
Okay. Now what? And almost a Pro Bowl player. Was he a Pro Bowl player?
He was two Gip.
Yeah.
The year that he got hurt, he went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
then he got hurt against Atlanta, didn't play again the rest of the season.
Correct.
You know, it is interesting, and I think that you want to retain your own, but at the same time, you have to be reasonable. And you heard for
from Adam Kaplan. He said $7 million a year, Mitchell Schwartz, you got to get it done. $8 million a year, see you, bye. So it depends on what Mitchell Schwartz wants. Does Mitchell Schwartz want to be the highest paid right tackle in football? Does Tashaun Gibson want to be paid like a top five safety? Does Travis Benjamin want to be paid like a 1A receiver? And if they're not that, how, do you pay them just because they're your guys?
Look, I understand you want to keep your guys, but Mitchell Schwartz can't be making more than Joe Thomas or even Alex Mack if you bring Alex Mack back.
Could he be making close to that? I mean, and that's what you're looking at. And I think that these are the issues. And the one thing I think that will be interesting to see develop in the Sashi Brown era is this is a guy who has done salary caps for his whole career. He's done contract negotiations for his entire career. He understands the values of players and how he wants them to be valued on his own team. Part of the stuff that they're doing with Paul DePodesta is actually knocking down and nailing exactly what the values of these guys are, what it really means in the big context of the NFL for certain positions. I think that the Browns are going to ultimately end up being a very smart team with how they hand out their contracts. And I think if you look at the last few years, one of the reasons they're in positions they are is they weren't smart about it. You look at the Dwayne Bowe contract. You look at the fact that you ultimately ended up paying Tremon Williams more than Buster Skrine when he is, you know, significantly his senior. You ended up paying Dante Whitner significantly more than T.J. Ward when he's his senior. I think it's about finding the right value. And it will be interesting to see. Now, what do these guys think they can get on the open market? How are agents valuing what they expect to be the increases in the salary cap? Are they trying to gouge people now because they don't want these deals to look bad for their clients in the future? I mean, if you read Joe Banner on Twitter, Joe Banner's like saying, why would anybody sign any contract right now without going to the open market? Because all it takes is one team to factor in that line of thinking, and you're going to get overpaid. So it will be very interesting to see what happens.
I don't think there's any question. Free agency this year is going to be fascinating to watch from this football team because they said we're not going to be players.
And you can't
But are you going to be players on your own team in terms of re-signing guys?
And that's what we'll have to see. And I think that that's where, you know, if there's a minimal gap in the value, you go up to get your retain your own guy. If it's a significant gap in the value, you don't get it done. Now, a lot of this stuff, and I'll tell people, and this is what Adam Kaplan was trying to say, is when you hear the talk about, you know, Travis Benjamin, the talks are over, that's a lot, oftentimes leverage from the agent. The agent trying to get close that final gap that exists between the two sides or play hardball. We'll see. And if I'm the Browns, look, I want, and in this order, Mitchell Schwartz back, I want Travis Benjamin, then Gip. I don't think Alex Mack's coming back.
I don't think so either.
I'm not even going to count him. But if I'm not going to pay, if Mitchell Schwartz, as I consider him, you know, a top 10 right tackle in the league, which I think is fair. I mean, if you want to debate that he's a top 5 right tackle in the league, whatever. He is a plus right tackle. Do I want to pay him like the number one right tackle? I think Tashaun Gibson is a plus safety, top half of the league safety, but I think he's got a lot to prove to me in terms of his durability, his ability to be consistent. So do I want to pay him like a top five safety if that's what he's asking for to get it done now? These guys will go to the open market. It only takes one, but they may also go to the open market and find, hey, the grass isn't greener, the money isn't greener for me. There is a lot of money to be spent out there, but you look at free agency in the past, it's littered with guys who overpaid and underproduce.
C and D level players getting paid A and B money.
Right.
I mean, that's – I'm not saying C and D is bad. It's just they're not the cream of the crop, but they get paid like the cream of the crop in the way NFL free agency is
set. The difficult thing is you need to draft and develop and retain your own guys. And at some point
– look at Cincinnati.
You need to say, though, before you let absolutely everybody go just because you think that they are – asking for too much money, at some point you need to make decisions on which guys are worth that overpayment because you've got room under the cap and you want to have that continuity of talent and show that people are rewarded. But it is very often the case that the guys who sign the long-term deals with their own teams, those contracts in a couple of years end up looking bad. Joe Hayden's got to play at a much better level this year or else his $13 million cap number doesn't look
very
good.
He's now the highest paid player on the Browns. He just passed Joe Thomas going into 2016 here.
And he needs to play like it. Let's go to Joe in Canton now.
Oh, Dino's still getting him.
Oh, he's still getting him? All right.
Yeah. Yep, now we can go to
Joe.
See, this is the caller screen software that I want for you.
There you go, man. It's a thing of beauty.
Joe, you there?
Yes, yes.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? My question is in regard to the draft. Assuming the Browns, is there somebody out there a transcendent talent, a Khalil Mack type of player that the Browns could take at number two if they that you know pushes them away from a quarterback? Is there anybody even close to that good in the draft?
There are always no sure things in the draft, right? Because we all know Jadeveon Clowney was considered to be a transcendent talent. That necessarily has not worked out.
Sure.
So there are no sure things in the draft. I don't think there's anybody that's regarded at that level as that can't-miss defensive player. We all know, again, there are no can't-misses, but there isn't anybody that's getting that kind of buzz. I think in Ohio, you hear Joey Bosa, because we're in Ohio. That is not the sense I get from around the rest of the country about Joey
Ramsey
Bosa.
What about Ramsey from Florida State?
Jalen Ramsey is the guy that most people think is absolutely, actually, the best defensive player in this draft. Patrick Peterson, I've heard him compared to. I've heard that he can play safety.
I love Ramsey.
He is a guy that I think could be a difference maker. But when you look at the Browns, you're almost, if you do that, you're almost drafting to replace a mistake. You drafted Justin Gilbert 8th overall. I think you need to still address the quarterback position before you worry about that other
Ramsey
stuff.
Ramsey could go to the Chargers to replace Waddle.
Is there any chance that Gilbert could be a safety?
I you know what? He's got the size. He's got the speed. I just want to see Gilbert contribute. And I think that is going to be more on Justin Gilbert than it's on anybody else. But hopefully Ray Horton is a guy who can reach him and get the most out of him, because Justin Gilbert was drafted to be a big part of what we were going to do here. And unfortunately, he has been zero part of what we've done in 2 years.
Biggest fan, the biggest takeaway so far, just because they're taking a page out of my book, Hugh Jackson, Ray Horton. They're in the total show me mode. They're meeting with guys and they're going, time to put up or shut up. We are not afraid to cut you. It's time to clean your act up on the field or off the field. It's time to show us what you can do on the field. It's time to stop playing games. We're giving everybody a clean slate based on what happened last year. It's time to put up or shut up, and you got to show them. And I think that's where they are with Gilbert right now.
Yeah. Let's see it. I mean, he's under contract. Markevious Mingo. Let's see it. Let's get value. Let's get a return. I mean, we're talking about top 10 picks in the draft. Mingo, Gilbert, that have not delivered, and that is why the Browns have been treading water at a level that they don't want to be at. That and the fact that, hey, they still don't have a quarterback. But as Adam Kaplan said, having that number two pick gives you more hope than you've had in a long time for this team, and they've got to get that pick right. Whether it's Wentz, whether it's Goff, whoever they believe is the one, get them and let's go giddy up. All right, when we come back, Sir Andrew Gribble joins us live here in Indianapolis. Get ready to bring you the latest from ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app and all the things going on in his noodle. That's coming up right after this on CBD.
Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back here live at Lucas Oil Stadium, site of the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs in for Matt Wilhelm, and we are joined now in person by the one and only Sir Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Gribbs, what combine number is this for you?
Four.
Number four.
I came twice covering Alabama, and this will be the second time with the Browns.
We've heard from Adam Kaplan just how much has changed in 15 years, but I think this is my fourth as well. It's crazy how many more people are here.
Yeah, I mean, when I came here for the first time, I would say this radio row was about half of what it is right now. I think positions like mine, positions like yours, have grown exponentially around the NFL. So when I talk to my friends in the media, they're like, you guys are everywhere. I mean, just team sites have kind of taken over this event. And, you know, unfortunately, they have credentialed a lot more people and have not changed a thing about the media room. So it's a little cramped in the media room, but we're getting by out here on Radio Row.
So what, you know, we've heard a lot from Hugh Jackson today on this show, press conference, on a local media press conference. What were your big takeaways from Hugh?
Well, you know, I think it was expected that he would say this, but I think he clarified that, you know, the Browns are not locked into a quarterback, though I think we can all make our assumptions that, you know, it's a strong likelihood that you would want a quarterback at that number two spot. And I just think it's been a lot of discussion today about free agents. I think that's been the big talking point. I think with the story that came out yesterday about Travis Benjamin, where talks are maybe not as good as they thought they were, and that's according to reports. But I think you identify those four free agents, the four big name free agents, and you wonder who, if any, are going to be back next year. And I think that a lot of that stuff, you know, when they're not in the building here, a lot of that stuff is going on. I mean, every agent is here, every coach, every front office member. A lot of business gets done in Indianapolis outside of this building. So it's going to be a storyline leading up all the way to the start of the league year and then going into league year if these guys test the waters.
What do you want to see happen? If you were in charge, it was your ideal world, what would you want to see happen with those free agents for the Browns?
You know, I'd hope to – I would think two of four would be a respectable goal to get back. But I just think that a guy like Travis Benjamin is going to be tough because this is not a great year for wide receivers in free agency. So this might be the best situation for him personally where he's going to get maybe over more money than he would have have gotten in previous years or even next year. So I think he's in a situation where you might have to put the number at a spot and be like not wanting to go over and let him go test the market. I think same goes with Mitchell Schwartz is going to be tough as well because I think – we've seen the importance of right tackle, I feel like, grow in the NFL right now. And I think that he might benefit from the fact that you watch the Super Bowl and Von Miller just brutalized the Carolina's right tackle. And you need a strong right tackle because that's where the best pass rusher is going to be. So Mitchell's probably one of the best ones out there right now in the free agency market. I think clearly you'd love to have Alex Mack back. Whether you can or not, we'll see. I think he's one of the better centers in the league, played very well in the second half of the year and has a lot of good years ahead of him.
If you had to be better at center or right tackle, given where you think the NFL is going, where would you rather be better?
I think with the Browns-specific situation, I think Mack is just such a good center and has shown that, has proven that, Pro Bowl guy multiple times over, and a guy that outside of the really severe injury he had, he's been healthy. He grinds through that stuff. And as we saw this past season, I think he gets better as the year goes on. He's a guy I would want back on the team if you can get him back. And then the last free agent there is Deshaun Gibson. It's another interesting one as well. It's just this is why you hear about teams wanting to lock guys up before they go on the open market because, you know, there's teams out there that have money to spend. And they identified Deshaun Gibson as a safety that definitely has a lot of good years ahead of him. He's still very young. Not the best statistical year for him, but he has his 2014 standing out really big and tall for him when he hits the market. So he's a guy that has gone out of his way to say he wants to be back in Cleveland. But again, these guys have got to make the best financial decisions for them. And as Hugh Jackson said earlier, that's their right, and it's something you really can't blame them for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about getting paid and cashing in when you can in the NFL when we all know the career can be very, very short and nothing is guaranteed. Now, when you go through this combine experience for the people who will be reading at cleanbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app, what can they expect going forward the next couple of days?
Well, you know, it's today's a big Browns day because Hugh Jackson talked in the podium. I think tomorrow's a big Browns day as well, with Sashi Brown going to the podium, doing every sort of interview possible, kind of going through the media circuit, which is good to see. Coaches and GMs are strongly encouraged to talk, but they don't have to. You look at this list of coaches and GMs, there's a lot of coaches not on this list. I think the Saints have no one talking. You know, that's something that it would be frustrating for people in our position, but
sure.
The Browns are out there, they're talking, they're giving us plenty to write about. Tomorrow as well is a huge day because quarterbacks come in here, do the whole media circuit as well. And then as the week goes on, you've got linebackers, defensive line on Friday in here. Saturday is defensive backs. And, you know, last year at this time, we're like, we don't need to talk to defensive backs. You know, the Browns are kind of set. This year, there's not really a position. I'm like, the Browns are set at this position. We don't need to worry about these guys in the combine room. So we're going to be busy covering all those guys every day. On top of just kind of you're talking to national reporters everywhere, they have opinions on the Browns, letting fans hear that as well. And then Friday is the on-field workouts. Saturday is the big on-field workout that we'll be focusing on with the quarterbacks when they take
yes.
the field.
And what time does that kick off?
It should be just during the day at some point Saturday. They have to go through the 40-yard dash. They have to do all that stuff. But then you get to see them do the throwing and everything. It's usually early to mid-afternoon, get them out of here about 3 or 4 for their flights home. The on-field workout is the absolute last thing the player does before they're out of here after 4 days.
Gribbs, what's the one event happening this weekend that you'll take the most stock in when breaking down players and trying to figure out who the Browns might take?
I think it's clearly, and you'll hear every coach and everyone say this, the biggest event that happens here does not happen on camera. It does not happen in the media room. It happens when they meet with the doctors. I feel like that is a huge thing that happens because they're getting evaluated from top to bottom by every NFL team doctor. A lot of these guys have some nagging injuries that they learn turns out to be something serious and they have to get addressed, and it can really affect how you rank a player. And then you're also checking up on guys who have had surgery, see how they've recovered, see how they've healed. A guy that with Brown's interest, Carson Wentz, had the wrist injury that he played through last year. That's something that'll get checked out. I mean, you check out everything. I remember being here a couple years ago covering Alabama, and Cyrus Kwanjo had a knee thing discovered with him, really hurt his draft stock, and he ended up being a second-round guy who originally was projected as maybe a first-round pick. So it's one of those things where the player can study up and prepare for interviews. They really can't do anything to prepare for these medical examinations, which are really key in kind of singling out some players who may have some issues and kind of check some boxes and make you feel okay or not okay about taking them.
What about the measurements that's coming up? And we know we've heard a lot of talk about hand size for the quarterbacks. Is that something you're going to be paying a lot of attention
to? Yeah, because Hugh Jackson went up to the podium today and said it's important to him. And I think he cited the AFC North, the weather conditions and, you know, ball security, things like that. So it's as much as we can make fun of it, you know, joking that someone has small hands, big hands, it's with quarterbacks, it's an important thing. I think there's a lot of numbers that get thrown out with players that don't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what a nose guard runs in the 40-yard dash.
Sure.
To me, it doesn't matter what a wide receiver bench presses or things like that. You know, they have to do a lot of things just because everyone's doing them. I think there's been talk of – I saw a story the other day that they're thinking of rethinking the whole combine.
Yep.
You know, starting over as if you'd never had this event before instead of just doing what you've always done, which I think is good because I think we'll have a lot of different things happening once they do that. So I'll be watching just a lot of those. I think the key to me is, unless you're like a DB that wants to be the fastest guy running the 40, I feel like every player's goal is just don't stand out in a bad
slow
way. Yeah,
right.
Don't be the last guy. I think if you just put up a respectable time, respectable measurements, don't stand out, don't give any reason to have negative attention brought to you. I really don't know if there's other than that 40-yard dash brought, like, certain small things, you're not going to really wow a team and raise your draft stock by doing something great at the combine.
Obviously, one of the big storylines, the big Ohio State contingent, 14 guys. How many of these guys are we still going to be saying by the end of this week there's going to be 8 or 9 guys taken in the first round? Are these guys going to live up to the expectations? Because they're pretty lofty before
Huge.
They even start
yes.
working out here this week.
The mock I saw recently had 6 in the first round, which is a lot. I mean, that's you're talking like Alabama, Miami
yeah.
territory. And I think the sheer number of them here, 14 I believe it is, and that's impressive in itself because you're not in this event unless they think – you're going to get drafted or have a very strong possibility. Now, there's going to be outliers. There's going to be guys here that don't get drafted. There's going to be players who get drafted that weren't here. So that's going to happen. But to have 14, that means odds are you're probably going to have 12 or 13 drafted, which is a pretty incredible thing, especially when you look at last year. They didn't have a single first-rounder last year. So it's just a loaded class, and it's going to be interesting. I'm more interested to see how Ohio State responds by losing all these guys on their field. But when it pertains to the Browns, the guy that interests me the most right now is Michael Thomas, the wide receiver, because he's a guy that could be available at that 32 spot. Has the size, the measurables. Didn't put up. I wouldn't say his stats were crazy big at Ohio State. There's a lot of playmakers, a lot to spread around there. But he's one to me that would make if you're projecting a Buckeye to the Browns, probably makes the most sense because you're probably not getting one of the six that are going to be in the first round.
Talking with Sir Andrew Gribble, keeps you covered at ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app here. We'll have interviews with some of the big national people as well. I saw you caught up with Jason Lock and Fora earlier, and I know you'll be talking to other people here. When we talk about this Browns team, we've talked a little bit about free agency. We've talked a little bit about the quarterbacks. But what we haven't really talked about is Sashi. And tomorrow, Sashi's going to be in front of the national media for the
He's
very first time, kicking it off.
What are you expecting the tenor to be from the national media, and what are you most interested in seeing and or hearing from him?
Well, I think the national media, I think, is going to, because this is their first opportunity, I think they're going to go heavy on the analytics stuff. And I think that's, it's fair game. I think the hiring of Paul DePodesta kind of has brought on those questions. And I think it'll be similar to the questions that Sashi faced in his press conference a few weeks ago with the local media. I think that it'll be, I think there's a fascination with the fact that both he, Paul DePodesta, and Andrew Berry are in positions that they have not been in before. I think there's going to be a lot of questions about how much are you relying on Hugh Jackson in this evaluation process? How much input does Hugh Jackson? I think there's a lot of fascination with just the entire structure of the organization, because what the Browns are doing right now isn't like what most teams in the NFL are doing right now. So
correct.
I think there's, as Lock and Four told me earlier, there's a curiosity about the Browns right now, which maybe wasn't there in recent years. And it's not an optimistic curiosity. It's not a pessimistic curiosity. It's just sheer curiosity. So I think they're just going to – I think he'll get some questions on how he's growing into this role, because it's something he's never done before. But I don't think he's going to be grilled by any means other than stuff with Johnny Manziel and with other players.
I think hopefully
that
Hugh
can be
put
cast
that
up
to bed today.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hugh got less Johnny Manziel questions than I thought he did, than I thought he would have.
I
going
think he'll
into
end
today.
Up with a lot tomorrow.
Yeah. So
because he was the one
basically
that made
just
the statement.
Said today it's over, though.
But Sashi, when they made the statement, Sashi had
made
his
it.
Name all over
oh,
that
yeah.
statement.
I mean, yeah, he's
so
going to get
be
questions
the first
about,
one about
he's going to get questions about Manziel, because, you know,
people
want another Manziel headline. I mean,
exactly.
I think that's another, it's another way to get that out. But I think this is maybe the last opportunity where that'll be addressed, because then a couple weeks free agency begins.
That's right.
The NFL league year begins. But I think he'll – I don't expect much set. I think he'll refer back to the statement, reiterate what Hugh said, and move on and try to field some other questions.
Did you hear Adam Kaplan's comments about Andrew Berry, saying he talked to him at the Colts and they said the guy's an absolute superstar, and even though he's young, that they are expecting huge things from him? And I thought that was good, because you haven't gotten much of the national commentary on Andrew Berry. Now, kind of was a hiring. It happened, and it was kind of like,
yeah,
okay.
It happened during Senior Bowl week, and that was similar to the things that we had heard as well. We talked to Albert Breer from NFL Network on camera about Andrew Berry. You know, nothing but nice things have been said about him, but it's just the wondering, how is he going to adjust? This is a new role.
Yeah.
He's a young guy, and I think there's going to be that skepticism out there, because that I think that people made the jokes about the Ivy League. I mean, the Browns have so many Ivy League guys now in these positions.
There are worse jokes to be made about,
again,
about
it,
you,
it's,
by
it's
the
it's
way,
like a,
than that, you have a bunch of Harvard people running your operation.
Right, and yeah. I think it'll be interesting. I don't know when we'll hear from Andrew Berry, maybe sometime in the foreseeable future, but I think that his reputation is very strong. You know, you never hear anything negative about that. It'll just be interesting to see how he approaches this new role, his first combine, his first draft in a really important position in the Browns front office. I mean, when he was talking about his support system, I mean, Andrew Berry is the guy that he's mentioning, along with Paul DePodesta, along with Sasha Brown,
yep.
along with Dee and Jimmy Haslam. I mean, he is in this small group that is
he's
basically
the
steering
tree.
The direction that the Browns are going in.
Absolutely. Gribbs, thank you so much. He's going to have you guys covered completely. ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Yes.
Gribbs has a big night tonight. Gribbs, where are you going for dinner tonight?
We believe it is going to be St. Elmo's, but
oh.
it's...
have you ever
get
been?
Yeah, oh, I've been.
Okay.
But we got a 9:45 res. It might be a little late. Might be getting a little hungry.
For Sir Andrew.
Yeah, that's a late dinner.
Let's get him a 5-hour energy. Just think this is New York or Vegas. Let's go.
Would you wait?
9:45? I've eaten there, so I've done it. I probably
right
wouldn't
there
wait.
With you.
But if I hadn't been, I would for sure. And 9:30 doesn't scare me off at all. Like, I mean, when we went out when we
it's
were
a
in,
little late.
When we were out in Tampa, we couldn't get into Ocean Prime on Saturday until 9:30. I had no problem with that. Bat an eye at that.
When I was in Miami for this past weekend on vacation, we had dinner reservations each night at 7 o'clock. It was like ghost town.
Yeah, you can't go out to dinner at 7 o'clock in Miami. That's like
I'm an old man.
That's when you should be good. 7 o'clock is when this is how you so hold on. I'll give you my theory. You go out all night, so then you go out all night, you wake up, you do a lot of day drinking, you're at the pool, you're at the beach, whatever, you're day drinking. Then that 4 to 7 window, that's actually
siesta.
That's like a little love, little romance, make siesta. Then you wake up.
Well, now the show's getting awkward.
And then you go. So 7 o'clock,
Rich,
that's like,
lady,
that's just when you wake
but
up.
Your lady's pregnant.
Yeah. I mean,
so, like, it's... You know,
bedtime.
The siesta's already happened.
Bedtime's 10 o'clock.
That's fair. Was this like the baby moon?
Yes. It was a baby moon.
A baby moon.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
I'm sure it was a good time.
I didn't realize you were on vacation.
Are you a big drinker at all? Not big, but I mean, like, would you imbibe?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
do you not around her when she's pregnant?
No, I still have a few cocktails, and she got upset about that. She's like, "Why don't I
don't get it.
She's like, why don't you give up alcohol for 9 months? Like, no.
Let me quote the great Larry David. We shouldn't all suffer. Thank you very little. All right, we'll be back wrapping it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the Combine in Indianapolis right after this.
Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. So we are going to have, we had earlier today, if you missed it, Hugh Jackson was with us. I thought Adam Kaplan gave us about 20 excellent minutes, some good insights on the free agent process, the quarterback process, dropping actually some interesting nuggets about where teams value, and it seems the majority of teams have Wentz above as the number one quarterback in this draft.
Blows my mind.
Blows my mind a little bit, number one. Number two, why would you say that?
That he's number one?
Why are you talking about your draft board that much? Is it smokescreen?
Are those agents?
Is there where there's smoke, is there fire? I don't know. But we're going to get to the bottom of it here. We're going to be here all week. We're going to have big-time guests lined up for you every single day here. Myself, Gibbs, he's going to go home. He's going to take some Sudafed. We're going to get him rocking and rolling, ready to go. I think you recovered nicely.
Dude,
once you were cough shamed.
It was just that little two-minute hack a job.
Once you were germ shamed, you really turned it around.
Yeah,
and I appreciate
correct.
It. Yeah, it was good. Lots of people here.
I'm recovering, and now I got to go book the show for the next 2 days.
We're going to go book the show. Gibbs is going to go work the room.
Yeah, get to work, Doc Holliday.
He's going
to
meet some people, break
it
in, meet the neighbors. Gribbs is going to keep you covered, ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. We'll have the Browns huddle for you live from the Combine as well on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. So we got to do some thank yous. We must thank Hugh Jackson and, of course, PJB. We got to thank
Kaplan.
Adam Kaplan, and Sir Andrew Gribble back from his baby moon in Miami right here in Indianapolis. Stay tuned for the Golden
time for
Boys. Time for the siesta. Make romance. Segura Gibbs will be back tomorrow live from Indy. CBD. Holla.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.